Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106. 5:35 minutes after the hour. Here this third hour of the Jeff Porch Show. Hope everyone's doing well out there. Joining us now, a voice some of you may be unfamiliar with, but represents folks up in kind of the northern part of state. State Senator Garland Gudger from Coleman joins us on the line. Senator, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. I appreciate the invitation to be on the show. Thank you for that.
Hey, thanks for doing it. I really do appreciate it. First off, how are you doing? Yeah, obviously, the news with your positive test for COVID-19. Talk to us a little bit about those things.
Well, it came as a surprise to me, to be honest with you. I did feel a little ill. I got tested the night before I found out, which has been 12 days ago now. And from talking with the doctor that night, they really thought it was going to be strep throat, and got tested. It was not that. They said, well, chances are it's flu. I don't see you having the same symptoms as what most people come in with COVID. And so anyway, it ended up being COVID. And so I've been in quarantine, and really this weekend I got out of quarantine after my 10 days, but I stayed in for another 2 days to be on the safe side. So today is actually my first day out and about again, so I feel like a free man.
So how was that? Did you suffer the worst of it, or was it a mild case?
You know, overall, I did. I received a lot of different symptoms, which is interesting talking to different people. One is chills. Second is body aches. And it's not just aches that I receive like you're normally getting sick. It was really deep in the bone type hurts, aches. And from that, I could just feel something was going wrong with my body. But after about the fatigue now is what I'm dealing with currently. I walk up my stairs to my loft, and one time is fine. The second time I do it, I just get a cold sweat over me. So sounds like that stays with you for a while. The breathing has been okay the whole time, though, so I'm blessed in that regard. But there's been so many different symptoms for so many different people. As you well know, it hits the body different ways for different people in different ages. And so I'm 45, and I'll kind of hit right in the middle of the symptoms, it sounds like.
It's interesting, though, but it sounds like you're at least recovering pretty well as that goes.
I am out and about today. Like I said, I'm running some errands for my wife and just getting some things back in order. If you're out for 10 days, that is a long time for me. I've never sat still for 10 days. And so it's been an interesting week and a half. From that, I'm out feeling like I have energy back again today, which is a blessing. And I'm just thankful for my health. And anytime you go through anything that takes your health from you, you kind of just, you know, want to get on your knees at night and pray and say thank you. So right now I'm doing well, and I'm thankful to be out and about and doing some positive tasks around for my family and for myself.
How is your how's your district holding up? Obviously, everybody's kind of suffering the aftermath of the economic consequences here. But, you know, statewide, it looks like things, you know, maybe this last unemployment report, it looked like a minor setback, but things still seem to be trending in a good direction.
Now, it's interesting you say that. I've done, since I've been home for 10 days, I've had nothing to do but really pull up budgets. I'm really a big number guy. And, you know, looking at the budget at the state level, which I'm very surprised about, but Chairman from the General Fund in the Senate, Greg Albritton, held a budget committee not long ago just to give an update. And honestly, our budgets are positive more than they were last year at this time, which I'm really surprised about. But I truly believe that conservative legislative leadership has really allowed Alabama state budgets to remain strong, even in the midst of this pandemic difficulties that we're having. You know, it's significant in comparison to many other states that are experiencing proration and significant cutbacks. Alabama is not doing that. But you look at the general fund, we're up 3% approximately. In the ETF, we're up 7%. And I know that we've drained a lot with unemployment with Alabama Trust Fund, with our unemployment. But as far as the budgets themselves, we are up. And now I took that same information, Jeff, and took that to our city and our counties that I represent, which is Coleman, Lawrence, Winston, and Marion counties. And every one of them, their budgets are up. Lawrence County, talking with the comptroller there, has the best sales tax that they've ever had. And that's amazing to me that there has been so much purchasing that's been happening during COVID, even though people had to stay at home and really everything shut down for a month and a half to 2 months. But I'm really kind of surprised the budgets are in good shape as they are.
Well, is there any other variables that might have lend itself to that? Everyone talks about the SSUT, the internet sales tax. Did that help things get to where they were? Or did just kind of just now sitting in?
You know, I think that that's definitely a factor in all of this. More people are feeling more and more comfortable, obviously, purchasing online, from Amazon Prime to Christmas is coming up to presents now to even floral arrangements. You know, you call in now in a different city and pay for that online. So that SSU tax is going to continue to go up. But let's look at the root of where that money is coming from and the root of why people have more money to spend and our sales tax is up. Number one, they're at home and they've been bored and they're looking to do something. So really, it's funny that looking at myself, there's two things I did. Number one is I ate every time I possibly could, and number two, I was buying things online. But where is that money coming from? And you're going to be seeing the federal stimulus money that came in. People that were making $275 a week were for a little while getting anywhere from $600 to $800. And so they're almost tripling what they got. And so with that extra money, they were catching up on things that they needed for their house. They were fixing things. They were doing whatever they wanted to do from a honeydew list to get caught up. And so I think from the stimulus money all the way through the end of this year, we're going to have a good budget in this fiscal year, in this calendar year.
Right. And you know, that I guess there's a lot of worry out there about a next tranche of stimulus being needed. It's hard to know what the economic situation has in store, but at least for now, like you say, Alabama, from a fiscal standpoint, seems to have dodged a bullet, whereas other states have not been as successful.
That is correct. You know, and I want to give credit where credit is due, and I was not in the legislature when they passed kind of the rainy day fund and the security net that we have in place now. And I can't say enough to that leadership group that came in and said, we need to have a reserve that if everything turns upside down in the financial market, that we're not going back into proration like we've seen Alabama do in past years. They passed a reserve fund that we have now, and by doing that, that's the reason that we're not in proration. And so the people that were in from 2010 on until 2000, and I believe it was 14 when the last was passed, should be commended for that. They were looking out for our budgets, and thank God that they did that. And that's even my predecessor. And so I want to say thank you to those guys that took the time and effort and put in the hard decisions to make that, because it's making our life easier today as Alabamians and taxpayers not to go back into proration.
Joined by State Senator Garland Gudger here on the program of Coleman. Senator, now that you've dealt with it and you've experienced COVID-19, have you changed the way you feel about any of this? I don't know where you were on the mask and the social distancing and all the guidelines, but do you see things any differently than you had before?
I do, and that's a great question to ask, Jeff. Beforehand, I'm a small businessman. I'm in good shape. I work out. I have not worried about getting that sick from COVID, because from the numbers, looking again at the mathematics of it, it was less than 1/100 of 1% that I would be getting this and passing away from it. And the people that did get it that I knew of were not getting sick. The first thing that happened to me was Senator Randy Price, when he got it and got put on a ventilator. It made me open my eyes a little bit more to that. During the time that I got it, my mother, which was separated from me through about a 2-week, because I was off in Philadelphia doing some salvage work for my work, I came home and she had it, and she ended up getting double pneumonia and getting put in the hospital. She's 77 years old, and that worried me. Now, one of my good friends, their father, that's in good shape, is on a ventilator in Birmingham. And so it affects the people that it touches. And even though, like myself, I feel like I'm in good shape, I was still shut down for now 12 days and still feel a little fatigued. But there are people that need to be paying attention, need to be wearing masks, need to be calculated in where they go and who they're in contact with. Because if you have acute problems, especially with breathing in with your lungs, this virus can affect you and can be deadly, period. And so, just like my mother, I'm doing everything I can to keep her is in quarantine for as long as I can until we know that her oxygen level is up. But to answer your question, did it change my mindset about this virus? Yes, it did. I was not as worried about it to begin with, but I definitely want the people that this virus can hit as a target audience, which is the elderly and anyone with acute problems with their lungs. They need to be careful.
Well, at least we put on the next question. You know, we've heard a lot of discussion about a special session. It's not so much whether we need a special session. I think a lot of people would agree that it might be in the best interest overall or in some regards for a special session. But it's the question is, can it be done safely? You spent some time in the State House, old building. Can any kind of legislative action at the State House be pulled off safely, you think?
Obviously, the State House is the people's house. And so when we're open, we would like for the people to have access, not only to us, but to the legislation that we're trying to pass. Doing that in a safe manner is a very hard thing to be able to pull together. I'm thankful that we've got people like the Secretary of State, Pat Harris, that I know 100% put our safety first in front of everything else in his administration and the assistants that are there. But doing that in the Senate is going to be easier than doing that in the House. Obviously, we have 35 senators. They have 110 in the House, and they have to spread out a lot more than we do with their administration on the bottom floor. Do we think that there is a reason for a special call session? Yes, I do. Everything from just the protection of small businesses and liability through COVID, to the economic incentives that are coming up that Secretary Canfield is wanting to push forward, which I agree with. But how do we do that safely? That is going to be up to Pat Harris and to the group for the administration at the State House to figure that out. I want to make sure that, out of respect, obviously since I've gotten COVID now, I'm immune to it, but I still will be wearing a mask out of respect for anyone else that thinks that they're worried about the COVID, especially the target audience of some of the older colleagues that I have in the Senate. But I don't want any loose particles discharging from me, whether that's a cough or a sneeze or anything that I could indirectly hurt somebody. I would never do that at all.
Well, I've heard some reports now that, I heard your colleague Arthur Orr up in Decatur, but there's been reports that they're going to try to implement some kind of iPad system where you can vote from your office to make that to make it safer. Do you think that helps? Do you think that makes it easier or more likely or safer that you could pull off not just a special session, but when we get into 2021, if it's still lingering, if COVID-19 is still lingering, pull it off the regular session?
I think that it does help as far as the interaction of people and learning about legislation that is coming through. It's hard to do that in your office, period. You normally need to be able to ask people that are experts in whatever field that we're passing legislation on, that we need information to make sure that we cast the right vote for our district because we represent the people. And if we are able to stay in our office and vote on an iPad, that keeps the vote safer. But does that keep the best vote that we're going to be casting? And I'm not sure if that's the case or not, because you're going to need information on subject matters that you haven't been privy to or even thought about in the past, because as you well know, there's so many votes that come up, you have to have the information to make the best vote for your district. So would I like the iPad system? I think that's a great idea for the voting. It still depends on if the State House is cut off from the people or not.
And finally, we'll change gears here, kind of get you out of here. How you feeling about a week from tomorrow, the election on November 3rd?
I feel like it's number one. Obviously, we've seen with absentee ballots a strong turnout already. But I think it's going to be a historic vote. I do think that I'm a Trump person, and I believe that Trump is going to prevail at the end of the day. I do think that is going to take a little bit of time. And what worries me is that the Democrats seem to be smiling and not as worried as what I think that they should be. And that worries me. And I think there's something that's going to be there that's going to take a while, especially with the mail-in ballots from other states that are going to delay the process. And no one wants to see a delayed process when you're talking about the most powerful man in the world, which is the President of the United States. And so that worries me a little bit. Obviously, that's at the federal level. So my job is to go out and cast and make sure my vote and my family make sure they cast their vote, and to promote being able to have a voice, which is getting out and being able to vote as much as possible here in the state of Alabama, which I will be doing. But we hope that everything runs smooth. But I have a feeling that after the vote is starting to be calculated, it might take a little bit longer than what people expect or even want.
Well, here in Alabama, we seem to kind of be making up things as we go along with regards to absentee balloting.
You know, talking with John Merrill, he's been very clear from what I've understood on absentee balloting. As far as having your IDs and going forward after the lawsuit that happened from the federal judge, and I think that he was pushed to go forward and having some early voting. But as far as curbside voting, you saw that that's not available anymore through that federal lawsuit.
All right, well, and maybe it's something you guys have got to look at next session or in a future session, but it sounds like there's a lot of questions, I guess, that we're going to have to address when it comes to COVID and in this brave new world we're in.
I believe you're right. I think COVID-related issues will be at the top of the list for most legislators that when they're going back down, whether we have a special session and the governor wants to put that on our ballot, or if it's going to be in February when we start back a regular session.
Senator, we've got to leave it there, but I certainly want to thank you for your time this morning, and maybe we'll do it again real soon.
Always appreciate being on the show, Jeff. Thank you. If you ever need me, just give me a call.
Absolutely. State Senator Garland Gudger from Colman, ladies and gentlemen. Got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5.